Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Bruce Castle presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Chief Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Hagel. To my left is Judge Lance. We're here today in the matter of Lawrence J. DeLisio, docket number of 090404. Would counsel for the parties please note their appearance for the record?
Yes, Your Honor. I am Christopher Aldo Porco for the appellant, Lawrence DeLisio.
Thank you.
I'm Judge Sinema Apatra, appearing here on behalf of the Secretary.
Yes, Your Honor, Secretary.
Thank you very much. Before we get started, there's a pending motion to amend the record of the proceedings. We have not heard a response from the appellant on this motion. Do you have any objection to our granting that motion?
Your Honor, I haven't had the opportunity to compare the new or the proposed amended record proceedings versus the...
So no objection?
The only objection I would possibly have is, I guess, pages were being deleted from the old one, and I just wanted to know what pages were being deleted and why.
When did you get served with it?
I believe it was last week sometime, Your Honor.
What have you done over the last week?
Travel around for other cases. I guess, again, the only objection I would have would be to the deleted pages. As far as adding new pages and reordering the pages so that the PVA decision is sequential, I'm not perfectly fine with that. Just the deleted pages, I'm not sure why pages being deleted.
All right. We'll take that under advisement. Are both parties ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are.
Each party will have 30 minutes to present argument. Counsel for the appellant, do you wish to reserve a portion of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm reserving 15 minutes for rebuttal.
15?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You may proceed.
Chief Judge Castle, may it please the court. I'm Christopher Aldo-Porco here for the appellant, Lawrence DeLisio. In this matter, I see two main issues overarching. One is the violation of due process, as well as the other issues being the board rendering its own diagnostic conclusions and ignoring evidence favorable to Mr. DeLisio. Now, all this stems from two main events that occurred. One is his exposure to Agent Orange in southern Vietnam, as well as a motor vehicle accident that occurred while in service. And because of that motor vehicle accident, it says...
I have a question before you start.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at your issues presented, and I don't see anything about due process. Well, I'm sorry, I do. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Now, when he sustained that motor vehicle accident while in service, it put his life on a path that is totally different than what it would have been otherwise. He suffered a low back injury, injury to his spine, which subsequently reached down to his legs, left peripheral neuropathy and right peripheral neuropathy. And with the Agent Orange, he had a number of conditions that he suffered from that. So first I'll address the due process. And
Is the numbness in his legs related to Agent Orange or diabetes?
I think it might.
Did the board find that it was related to diabetes?
The board did service connect it to the diabetes, and that's why they granted an effective date in 2005, I believe, Your Honor. However, I think based on the medical evidence, it could have been service connected sooner.
Well, maybe it could have been service connected sooner. That's why you're here.
Absolutely.
But they did find it was related to the diabetes.
That's correct, Your Honor. Yes. And just as a threshold
matter... Just to get your briefing straight in my head, is it your position that your client submitted a claim in 1980 where he raised the issue of numbness in his leg associated in his mind with Agent Orange?
Yes, Your Honor, and that's RBA pages 132 to 133. And I should also...
Did he raise other factors in that claim that he submitted in 1980 also? Was it a generic laying out of the symptoms he had at the time?
Well, in regards to what he filed in 1980, he had said, I think he initially opened the claim saying, I want to file a claim based on Agent Orange. And then he listed a number of ailments he suffered from. And I think it seems like most of them are related to Agent Orange, or that's what I was getting from his claim.
What evidence did the VA have at that time that they were related to Agent Orange, that those maladies that you said many. What evidence did existed in the record that they were related to Agent Orange?
With regard to the Agent Orange claims, Your Honor.
Let's specifically talk about neuropathy.
Sure. Yes, Your Honor. Well, with regards to his claims based on Agent Orange, I'm not sure at that time if there was medical evidence to tie it into Agent Orange. However, I do think...
So you don't believe then that there's a... Then how are you asserting that, or are you asserting that the effective date ought to be back to 1980?
Well, again, I'm not sure what evidence existed as of 1980 when he filed the claim. But with regards to the left peripheral neuropathy, for example, I think that could be service-connected back then because even if it wasn't due to the Agent Orange, it was related to the motor vehicle accident that he had sustained. And there is evidence in the record, which I do believe I cite in the brief, to assert that he was suffering from left peripheral neuropathy regardless of any sort of exposure to Agent Orange. I think really the Agent Orange relates to the other claims the veteran was making with regards to lymph nodes, hair loss, skin condition, and those sort of ailments. Although he does mention the numbness in the left leg, I don't really know if that was because of the Agent Orange or not. But there is evidence in the record to suggest.
When in this record was a claim for benefits that he raised in 1980 associated with numbness in his left leg and Agent Orange adjudicated? Is that part of the appeal still here today?
I do believe so, Your Honor.
So there's no adjudication until the one for which we're now here today?
That's
the original office and then the board decision.
That's my understanding, Your Honor.
So it remained open that entire time from 1980 and is still now under review?
That's my understanding, Your Honor.
So if he files in 1980 for a numbness in his left leg, and in 1990 and 2005 they determine that numbness in left leg is related to Agent Orange, wouldn't he get back to the date of his original claim?
That would be my argument, Your Honor, yes. I do believe the left peripheral neuropathy was eventually adjudicated.
When he came in and claimed numbness in his left leg and the other symptoms,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't medically know. He's not a doctor, is he?
No.
He wouldn't know what caused that, would he?
Absolutely not.
So if they determined that all that was caused by diabetes, would his claim not naturally encompass diabetes?
I agree, Your Honor, it would.
And that is still part of your claim here today, the effective date for diabetes, is it not?
Correct, Your Honor.
Which is under your due process argument.
Yes, Your Honor. That's correct. And as a threshold matter, perhaps I don't even need to mention this, but the Court of Appeals to the Federal Circuit, of course, in 2009 held that entitlement to veterans' benefits is a property interest protected by the Fifth Amendment. That was the Cushman versus Shinseko case. So with that, of course, due process, in spite of every opinion you see, says, well, it requires notice and a meaningful opportunity to be heard. And it seems like most decisions, not just this court's, but other courts as well, really hinge on that meaningful opportunity to be heard.
Why wasn't he able to be heard? Didn't he file several claims? And didn't he have all the due process that was available to him during that period of time? The VA didn't prevent him from exercising his rights, did they?
Not necessarily, Your Honor, but what it was is he had an opportunity to be heard. There's no doubt he had an opportunity to be heard, but I think what it hinges on was the word meaningful opportunity to be heard. I mean, he filed a claim, mm-hmm. absolutely, but it was filed in 1980, and that's RBA pages 132 to 33, and I forgot to mention the brief. There's also another page to direct your attention to. It's RBA page 3579, which was actually a week before that other filing in October. Again, he relates his issues with Agent Orange. So he filed that in 1980. That remains open for a significant period of time.
But you still haven't answered my question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
And as far as why he was hindered as far as due process rights, well, in 1992, he files something with the board, I believe, and I don't think it was with the regional office, saying, I still got these issues open for the past 12 years. I'd like them to be decided.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, they aren't adjudicated. Only one issue is decided, and that's the skin condition.
Mm-hmm.
They say he doesn't have chloracne. So they say, well, we've decided your Agent Orange claims. And they leave open all of these other claims.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, here we are 31 years later.
Yeah, but can he, in 1995, he could certainly file an appeal with the court. Which is part of his due process rights.
I mean, I suppose he could, Your Honor, but mm-hmm. I mean, since they've only adjudicated the chloracne or the skin condition, mm-hmm. I don't know if necessarily he could appeal the other open issues that
happened. And he could have gone back to the board and said, wouldn't you reconsider this because you haven't adjudicated these other claims that I have submitted, couldn't he?
Your Honor, I think procedurally he certainly could have done that.
If he had the opportunity and didn't exercise it, how is that a violation of his due process rights?
Well, I think the violation is that these claims are still open and pending, and there hasn't been, you know, any sort of action taken. I understand procedurally he could have pursued a different route, but, you know, he's certainly not an attorney. I think at that time he was representing himself.
But you're an attorney.
Pardon, Your Honor?
But you're an attorney.
Your Honor, I certainly am, but that was, you know, 95, well before I was admitted to the
bar. But they did give him a decision, if I'm not mistaken, in this board decision right here on the record at 21. They talked about his Agent Orange claim from 1980, contemplated the veteran diabetes and mellitus. So I think Judge Hagel's getting to the point of why are you raising due process? He's got his due process. You're just arguing it's wrong.
Well, Your Honor, I think obviously certain decisions made by the board were incorrect, but I also think they left open these other matters that should have been adjudicated back to his 1980 claim. With regard to the board, moving on to the board, reaching its own diagnostic conclusions, I quoted the Ussery, a case where the BVA selected and pieced together various diagnoses, and that's basically, you know, what they did here with the low back, as well as the left peripheral neuropathy. There's certainly evidence favorable to the veteran to suggest that, you know, he should have had a higher rating, earlier effective date. And for the low back disorder, I listed 19 documents in the brief, at the brief at pages 15 to 17, dating back to 1969 about the low back disorder. And with left peripheral neuropathy, for example, there's a 1983 letter from a Dr. Bushikoff, I believe. And the board says, well, he must have misstated his diagnosis. That's not really what he meant.
These are all findings of fact you're talking about, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, what do you have to show us in order for us to overturn a finding of fact?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, under the clearly erroneous standard.
Okay, so if it sounds to me like you're talking about there's a disagreement between, you know, what you believe the facts show and what the board believes the facts show. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, I agree. That would be the standard.
So if there is a disagreement, then how is their finding clearly erroneous? Why is it clearly erroneous?
I think it's clearly erroneous because they're taking a doctor's opinion and then switching the words around so it favors the board decision. So as far as clearly erroneous, that's why I believe that's an error. But with regards to just the VA's requirement to give adequate reasons and bases, I also think, you know, they failed to do that in this case. I mean, certainly, you know, a 70-page decision by the board is quite lengthy, and it seems like they wanted to, you know, get into the record quite a bit. But again, it seems like they, you know, kind of cherry-picked the diagnoses that favored their decision and kind of either ignored the evidence favorable to the veteran, or, as I said, with this opinion, for example, they said, well, we don't think that's what the doctor really meant, so we're going to say this is what the doctor meant. That's all I have for now.
Well, even if you have conflicting evidence with regard to the cause of the peripheral neuropathy, at the end of the day, the board made a determination that it was caused by diabetes.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And therefore, if there was a 1990 or 1991 decision that didn't find peripheral neuropathy at the time, but other ones that did find it, at the end of the day, the board ultimately found that's exactly what he had.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And they said it was due to diabetes. And so in 1980, when he came in and claimed under Agent Orange, the facts are, as this board found, that what he had was peripheral neuropathy caused by diabetes.
That's correct, Your Honor. Okay. I'm going to reserve the remaining amount.
Well, Counselor, you still have 2 minutes and 36 seconds.
Okay, sir.
I haven't had the opportunity to ask you the pivotal question.
Yes, sir.
The inverted logic here seems to be the problem. That is to say, a secondary condition was claimed prior to the primary condition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you explain to me how we reconcile those two, because on its face it would appear to be illogical.
Now, Your Honor, are you referring to which conditions are you referring to being filed first?
First, peripheral neuropathy, which has an earlier effective date, at least on its face, and diabetes mellitus.
Yes, Your Honor.
Which was later diagnosed.
Correct, Your Honor. He was later diagnosed with diabetes. I mean.
Okay. So the peripheral neuropathy is secondary to the diabetes, isn't it?
Your Honor, that's what the board found, yes. They found it as secondary to the diabetes. However, the veteran was claiming symptoms prior to being diagnosed with diabetes. I guess my inclination is to believe that he may have already been suffering from diabetes prior to, when he was diagnosed with the peripheral neuropathy. So he filed a claim for peripheral neuropathy first, but he may not have been diagnosed with diabetes at that time. So while he was, later found to have diabetes, he may have been suffering for it at the time that, he actually had peripheral neuropathy. Does that answer your question, Your Honor?
Well, it gives us a start.
Okay.
But that seems to be the crux of the case. That is to say, can you have a secondary condition manifesting itself prior to the primary condition, because logically those two terms are juxtaposed.
I understand, Your Honor, and he may have filed a claim for one before the other, but again, he may have been suffering from diabetes, for example, and didn't file a diabetes claim. He just didn't know he had diabetes. So I think, he may have had diabetes prior to, certainly prior to filing a claim for it, because obviously he didn't know until much later.
It would be helpful for me if, during the time that mm-hmm. the Secretary is arguing, you would think about the question that Judge Lance posed to you and see if you want to give an answer that's more than a start, as Judge Lance referred to it.
Yes,
it would be helpful to me if you did.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Counsel for the Secretary. It's easier for me to say that.
May it please the Court, I am Rudrendu Sinamahapatra, appearing on behalf of the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Also present today is Deputy Assistant General Counsel Gail E. Stroman. Secretary submits that the December 2008 board decision should be affirmed since it's supported by
a... Well, before you go further, I'm going to get something straight in my mind.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm a veteran. I'm not medically trained. I don't know what's wrong with me. I file a supplemental claim. I say all these things are wrong with me. I think it may be Agent Orange. That claim remains open. Except for chloracne, which is decided is not Agent Orange related. A specific claim for numbness in my left leg remains open. Somewhere down the road, the Secretary determines that that's related to and caused by diabetes.
Yes, Your
Honor. So at the time I filed my claim and threw in my symptoms, why wouldn't my claim be broad enough to cover not only peripheral neuropathy? Well, first question, could you get, on the facts I just laid out, service connection back to 1980, once they discovered what the cause was, since my claim remained open?
Well, Your Honor, assuming you're referring to the peripheral neuropathy claim that was subsequently granted in 2007, secondary to the diabetes, service-connected diabetes and mellitus, at that point in time, Secretary pointed out that the peripheral neuropathy wasn't actually diagnosed until the 2000s itself. Although there were notations.
So the veteran came in 1980 and claimed numbness, didn't know it was peripheral neuropathy.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But ultimately they determined it was peripheral neuropathy.
That's correct, Your Honor. But
okay, so let's assume, forget Agent Orange just for a second. In 2000, they determined it was peripheral neuropathy. He could be service connected for that, couldn't he? Back to the date of his claim when they finally discovered what it was, as long as the claim remained open, couldn't he?
Well, Your Honor, under the governing law regarding the, if one looks carefully at the basis for the grant for awarding peripheral neuropathy, the effective date provisions as they relate to secondary service connection claims governs under those circumstances.
Well, go to secondary. Why doesn't his original claim encompass diabetes? I mean, I come in, I don't know what I have. I got numbness. Takes a long time for doctors to figure it out, and in the meantime, the secretary didn't deny this claim, if we accept that for discussion purposes. Finally, the secretary says it's caused by diabetes. Why doesn't the claim naturally include the diabetes? I didn't know it was diabetes that caused it. It's the opposite of, I came in for diabetes. I had numbness in my leg. I came in for diabetes. You get claimed for diabetes, but I'm not claiming that as a symptom. I don't have a problem with my leg. And 5 years later, you have a problem with your leg. At that point, you get it the date of claim. But in this case, why isn't the veteran coming in with his symptoms? And ultimately, at the end of the day, those symptoms incorporate, the tip of the iceberg incorporates what causes that, which in this case is diabetes, according to what the board found.
That's correct, Your Honor. However, the Secretary would point out, though, the basis for the grant in 2007 was pursuant to the secondary service connection provisions, which provide...
But why did the board even go down the road of secondary service connection of diabetes? Why didn't they just say your claim really was for diabetes? You didn't know what you had, but it turns out you had diabetes. You had numbness. You knew you had numbness.
Well, Your Honor, the Secretary would point out, though, that the basis for the grant for diabetes mellitus was not available until 2001 when it was added.
But his claim remained open since 1980. I mean, the Secretary can close that claim anytime he wants to. He could have closed it in 1982, and if it wasn't appealed, it would have been final. It would have been closed, and when you determine diabetes, it'd all be reopened.
Well, the Secretary respectfully disagree with Your Honor insofar as it being pending since 1980. Insofar as in September 1992 pre-briefing, pre-hearing conference, the veteran himself explicitly dropped all other claims.
You want to show me in the record where he explicitly dropped it as opposed to the board hearing officer discussing the issues that he perceived as being open and asking the veteran and his wife? Did he specifically say, I'm dropping the left leg?
Well, perhaps the use of the word explicitly wasn't a good choice under these circumstances, but nevertheless, when after the issues were listed, the ones which he was pursuing at the record at 3692, the hearing officer specifically asked him, do I have the issue straight?
But you're not going to stand here in front of me and say the secretary is going to say that a veteran, after being given a list of about 10 items, 6 items or whatever it was in that board hearing, and the hearing officer forgot to mention was explicitly written out as numbness in the left leg, that somehow the veteran waived that?
Well, Your Honor, the facts here should be viewed in the context of the June 1992 statement in which the veteran specifically alleged that his claims were due to Agent Orange exposure. The fact that he dropped those claims.
Well, he didn't. Show me where he says he dropped it. I mean, I think I understand what you're saying, but it seems to me if you really look at it, the hearing officer summarizes it down into these 6 and says, is that right? And the veteran sits there with his wife and says, yeah, I think you got it right. And at the end of the day, they didn't get it right. They missed entirely numbness in the left leg.
The Secretary disagreed with you, Your Honor, because the issues were specifically listed there prior to that. And in that context, also in a subsequent board decision in March 1995 decision, the veteran himself was represented by counsel, if I recall correctly, and they agreed at that point in time when they executed a joint motion for remand to not appeal or pursue the other claims. Certainly the attorney at that point in time, Mr. Jeffrey Wood, who was an experienced practitioner, could have raised some sort of objections to the issues being limited that point in time, at the time of the March 1995 board decision.
And at some time, a court is on record for saying that if you have a claim that's been unadjudicated by the secretary, your prerogative, your right, is to go and ask the claim to adjudicate it. And in this case, the secretary eventually adjudicated his left leg.
That's correct.
Numbness. But until then, it remained open. I mean, I hear you.
Well, Your Honor, the secretary would also point out in the alternative that March 1995 decision, citing to this court's decisions in Adams, DeShotel, more recently Cogburn, the secretary would assert, though, that he was reasonably informed.
That his left knee numbness had been somehow dropped
for the
or
claims
adjudicated.
That were based upon the same theory, i.e. due to the same incident and injury, here as being due to the Agent Orange exposure, that he was reasonably notified following, in the alternative, following the initial, as we like to state here, dropped.
I understand, but it seems like what you're arguing is that the Secretary's mistake has now been hoisted on the veteran. I mean, it seems to me the Secretary made a mistake. The veteran didn't sit there and say, yes, I'm dropping left knee numbness. If he did, I'd agree with you, but he didn't.
Well, Your Honor, again, we would point out, though, that his attorney that represented him before the
He didn't have an attorney at the board hearing, did he?
But the attorney represented him with regard to the March 95 decision.
Which didn't mention left knee, left leg numbness, did it? Well, I mean, it was dropped. It was left. It was somewhere out here to be adjudicated at some time.
This should also be taken in the context of the fact that he was represented at that time, and the attorney specifically elected not to pursue all the other claims in that joint motion for remand. Again, I would reiterate, though, that...
So is there some theory that the Secretary has that you can waive a claim by not pursuing it?
Well, the Secretary would not want to allege or assert any sort of waiver issue in this instance.
Drop a claim by not pursuing it?
Well, once the...
it's all right.
Proceeding with the argument...
Would you cite the page in the record where the JMR is located?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is that 20,106? I can't remember how many.
Yeah,
that
this is.
I know, but it's 20,106 or 2,106. 2,001.
Okay.
This is a long one, I know.
5,500 pages.
Yeah. Counselor, if I may, isn't part of our problem here that we have circuitous language in the Secretary's regulation when he inserts the words date entitlement arose when Congress has already indicated that and defined the effective date as the date that the claim was filed or the date it was factually ascertainable that the disability existed? Now, do you see that as a problem?
Well, in this case, with regard to the peripheral neuropathy claim that was granted on a secondary basis, decision Ross, which they indicated is either the controlling effective date provisions in that instance were either the date of the claim or the date on which the disability was manifest or arose in those circumstances, which in this instance the disability, i.e. the peripheral neuropathy, wasn't diagnosed until the 2000s. So, and that's the latter of the two provisions.
Well, explain to me what the Secretary's additional language to the regulation should mean. Date entitlement arose. What does that mean in light of the fact that Congress has already defined this? What does it add to the equation, so to speak?
The date entitlement arose, the Secretary, you would probably contemplate a number of different theories, but in this situation, obviously the regulation itself suggests that it's either the claim or the date on which the condition was manifested or arose, I believe, itself. So that sort of secondary language seems to be consistent with the date entitlement arose as being one basis.
Let Judge Lance finish his questions.
I'll go ahead.
When is it that the Secretary believes that entitlement arose?
With regard to the peripheral neuropathy?
Yes.
The date entitlement arose was based upon the examiner's finding that the condition, i.e. peripheral neuropathy, was specifically attributed to the diabetes mellitus type 2.
Okay. And why is that the date that the entitlement arose?
Because that's the date under the regulation which the condition was manifested.
But in your responses to Judge Castle and Judge Lance, I think you agreed that peripheral neuropathy was manifested earlier on. You just said it was related to a different cause. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor. The Secretary would assert that the earlier diagnoses or references, as the board found in their weighing of the evidence of record, for instance, in the September 1993 re-examination, they pointed out that notation regarding peripheral neuropathy was undertaken in a general VA examination, whereas the subsequent specialty examinations, to include the neurological and the orthopedic exams, specifically determined that it was actually a peroneal nerve injury issue, not a peripheral neuropathy issue. As was with the Dr. Bushkoff 1983 statement, the board found that that was actually an error on his part, because the vast majority of the report, in fact, the entire report really discusses perineal nerve injury, and it was a mistaken notation on his part.
So, based on this, your response to this point, it seems to me that you're saying that while there was a question about whether or not he actually was exhibiting peripheral neuropathy or some other disability, or the origin of this pain, let's call it, or tingling, was the issue in this case.
One of the problems, Your Honor, that the Secretary noted is that there was confusion based in part upon the lay statements presented as well, that the private examiners mistakenly noted that the pain was actually due to the left, when in fact the problems were associated with his service-connected right lower extremity condition for his peroneal nerve injury, for which he was service-connected back in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And the record seems to indicate there was confusion at times. And that's one of the bases, that's one of the findings the board made, that confusion led to some of the examiners mistakenly noting that he had perhaps peripheral neuropathy, when the bulk of the contemporaneous evidence of record, as noted earlier, specifically noted that it was actually peroneal nerve injury and not peripheral neuropathy. As I pointed out to you earlier, the January and February VA specialty exams, which include EMG studies, nerve conduction studies, determined that it wasn't.
Okay, let's assume that everything you say is true. When then was the peripheral neuropathy disability determined not to be service connected prior to its secondary service connection, and as it eventually was under diabetes mellitus?
I'm not sure if I understand.
No, I was afraid of that. Did the VA, prior to its granting a status of secondary service connection for peripheral neuropathies, did the VA ever deny the claim for peripheral neuropathy?
Well, as the Secretary noted earlier, to the extent that the 1980 statement did raise these claims, etc., which at the time he listed a whole number of different symptoms, including heartbeat, hair loss, etc., the Secretary again would note that he dropped these claims. At the time of the 92 hearing, pre-hearing conference, but also more specifically the March 1995 board's decision, the Secretary's opinion reasonably informed him of the denial, implicit denial of any of his other similar claims here, certainly citing to the factors in Cogburn, as your honor well knows, the fact the symptoms that were asserted back in 1980 were certainly simultaneous at that point in time. And the Secretary also pointed out that a second factor is that the basis for the denial of the March 1995 board decision was predicated on exposure to Agent Orange. In other words, it was based upon the same underlying theory governed by the same statutes and regulations.
Right, but as Judge Castle, I think, said, our case law, and that of the Federal Circuit, I think, says that, look, if a veteran comes in, he says, hey, I got a pain in my leg. It's not up to the veteran to say where that you know, pain comes from. The veteran doesn't have the expertise to link the symptom to the cause. So the fact that the board said all of your Agent Orange claims are adjudicated, I'm not sure I understand how that would be a final adjudication. Why would the veteran reasonably believe that that's a final adjudication of his peripheral neuropathy claim? Because that's the standard, right?
Yes,
he would have to reasonably know from a statement by the VA that his claim was fully adjudicated. So what would cause the court to determine that the claim was reasonably adjudicated, regardless of the source?
Well, as I noted earlier, certainly the two factors that I cited to earlier listed in Cogburn, of which the claims were all derived from simultaneously from the 1980 statement, and they're predicated on the same incident or injury, or in this case, same underlying theory, i.e. exposure to Agent Orange as being another factor. And although the veteran was not represented at the September 1992 pre-hearing conference, he was subsequently represented by an attorney at the time of the March 1995 board decision, who did not object to having other claims not further adjudicated or whatever have you.
And the JMR itself, I take it.
Yes, sir. Okay. The one other thing the Secretary point out, though, is that of those asserted symptoms in that 1980 claim, certainly he was, several of them, in fact, were adjudicated. And the ones, for instance, the lymph node claims, the growing issue, the perineal nerve injury, PTSD, for which he's granted 100% rating back to 1983. And subsequent to that, they certainly undertook some degree of development with regard to his asserted symptoms, because there was a 1982 Agent Orange examination screening memo, which certainly only diagnosed him with the perineal nerve injury and skin conditions. And then subsequently, there was a 1983 CMP examination that found, with respect to his asserted erratic heartbeat, et cetera, that there was no, and his breathing trouble, that his lungs were clear at the time, and there was no heart disability. There was no heart condition or respiratory issue.
Okay, so now ultimately, VA granted his service-connected status to his peripheral neuropathy based upon, at least sort of through diabetes, based upon exposure to Agent Orange, correct?
Well, the grant for the diabetes itself was predicated.
Right, I understand, but the peripheral neuropathy was related to the diabetes,
that's
correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So, I mean, that's how it came about.
That's
because
correct.
It's a symptom of, or a result of diabetes, one of the results of diabetes.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. For instance, the Secretary's understanding is there's often secondary conditions that accompany diabetes. For instance, this being a classic one. And another one, as we noted in the record here, is the erectile dysfunction and a number of other things that are commonplace, like commonly.
Now, when did he file a claim for diabetes?
The claim was not actually viewed, asserted until the 2000s itself.
And how was it asserted?
In the context of the lay statements that asserted that he had all these conditions that were secondary to his Agent Orange exposure. Again, he reiterated the same arguments that he'd been doing all the way through. But in this case, more specifically, the examinations themselves, once they determined that...
Well, examinations for a non-service-connected disability can't themselves raise a claim. So my question is, when was the claim... In order to file a claim, got to be formal or informal, right? Formal claim has to have a written both of them have to have a written application for a benefit, specific benefit. So when was the claim for if in fact peripheral neuropathy is derived from diabetes, which is, I think, what we agreed to a minute
ago,
when was the claim for diabetes filed?
in the view of the lay statements.
Well, I'm not talking about lay statements. I'm talking he has to file a claim.
Yes, sir. At the record at 13, the board notes that the claim for serous connection to diabetes, mellitus type 2, and peripheral neuropathy of left lower extremity was received by the RO on June 5, 2006.
Okay.
What's the record site for that submission? I mean, I know the board. Because the board also says on record of 222 that unlike diabetes, the veteran did present a specific claim for entitlement to service connection for peripheral neuropathy. So it'll be interesting to see how specific the claim was.
Well, Your Honor, in the process of searching for that, obviously the grant of the service connection for peripheral neuropathy was contained at the record of 369, and the SOC addressing those issues were at 00251. But as far as the actual document itself.
Okay, well, I'll let you look for that in a minute. But, you know, your co-counsel continue to look for that. But if the claim was based upon as secondary to diabetes, why was the claim for diabetes granted?
Well, because the liberalized law in 2001 allowed for the grant of diabetes, as the Secretary notes, that pursuant to the National Academy of Sciences, certain diseases are listed or found to be scientifically related.
So a presumptive basis.
Yes, sir.
Was there any evidence that you can point to in the record that would indicate that diabetes was associated with Agent Orange prior to the 2001 statement?
No, sir, because the prior record seems to...
Is there any indication in the record that you can see that shows that peripheral neuropathy was related to Agent Orange prior to 2001?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
You indicated that the peripheral the numbness claim that was presented in 1980 was denied in the March 94 board decision?
March 1995.
March
1995? Yes, sir.
Yet the board found that the veteran submitted a claim in January of 1994. So if he submitted a claim in January of 1994, then the March 95 board decision didn't extinguish that. Why would it extinguish the 1981?
Well, the 1994 claim was certainly extinguished by the subsequent grant.
Don't know. Follow me. The board somehow distinguished the claim in March of 95, is what you said, and a JMR subsequent to that. Yet this board found that the claim was open or submitted in January of 1994. If he had submitted a claim in 94 and that claim, you can't have two claims at the same time. So it seems like we may have a reasons and basis issue in any event. On page record at 21, dealing with Agent Orange, the board says there was never a diagnosis of diabetes mellitus of record at any time prior to 2000. Because of that, the board says there's no basis to conclude that there remained an unadjudicated Agent Orange claim from 1980. Why does the date of the diagnosis have anything to do with whether or not a claim remained open? I mean, it might take a lot of time for the doctors to determine what the person has. It doesn't change the date of the claim, does it?
But certainly that would be the basis for an award, wouldn't it, Your Honor?
No, if you came in with a bunch of symptoms in 1980 and it turned out all those symptoms are caused by diabetes, I go back to one of my earlier questions. Why doesn't that include a claim for diabetes? More importantly, isn't the board just misstating law when it says you can't claim a disorder when it's not diagnosed? I mean, that's almost like saying the veteran has to go to a doctor first, have the doctor say it's diabetes that causes your problems with your legs, and then you can file your claim for diabetes. That's not the law, is it?
No, sir.
So the board is misstating the law there. And then doesn't that open up the Niemer claim, the possibility that he's entitled to?
No, sir, because he's never been diagnosed with acute or subacute peripheral neuropathy. In this case, per the requirements for presumptive service connection under 3.307, 3.309.
Maybe I got this wrong, but isn't diabetes also covered by?
Yes, Your Honor, but he was granted service connection for.
But not back to 1980.
That diabetes wasn't available until 2001.
What's the scope and coverage of the Nehmer class action?
Well, in this instance, obviously the claims for the diabetes and in this instance, it's really the diabetes claim as such, because he was never diagnosed with acute or subacute peripheral neuropathy. So he wasn't in the...
All right, so does Nehmer cover diabetes or not? Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't look at it before coming in, so...
Yes, sir, and the board
all
seems
right.
to concede...
All right, so if Nehmer covers diabetes, and the veteran came in 1980 and says, I got all these problems, these symptoms, and those symptoms are ultimately related to diabetes, as we find in this board decision here, why doesn't the original claim in 1980, why isn't it certainly worthy of discussion beyond a point-blank statement that simply says because you didn't have a diagnosis, you're not covered by it? You don't need a diagnosis. You just need to have a claim in.
Well, the Secretary doesn't disagree insofar as Brokowski seems to suggest that asserted symptoms may indeed constitute a claim or an informal claim.
I don't think you need a Brokowski to say that. It's just plain old...
Common sense.
Yeah. I mean, stand back and look at the big picture. In 1980, the guy comes in, he's got a lot of things wrong with him. He had a few things before that. He submitted all these claims. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the board, the secretary, the doctors, everyone determines he's got diabetes. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting really putting our blinders on and getting very technical on this veteran and saying, you didn't file for diabetes until 2006 or whatever year you came up with, even though it wasn't a specific filing, but that's when we think you filed for. And the fact that you filed for all these symptoms back in 1980, well, we're not going to go there. We're going to say it was closed in a decision where we don't even mention the numbness. I mean, it seems to me it's not being looked at very liberally.
Your Honor, the Secretary would point out that the symptoms that were specifically enumerated are listed in that 1980 statement, many of which were actually adjudicated.
No, I think we're crossing paths here a little bit. I think you're saying that somehow or another the veteran really should have understood that the numbness was closed out, should have been alert enough, should have had that knowledge and training that a lawyer might have to say, wait a minute, you forgot something. And somehow or another, because the hearing officer who's there to help you, who misses something, somehow I, the veteran, am now caught by the fact that the hearing officer missed something, which everybody's human, but I don't know why we're blaming the veteran for that.
Yes, sir, I understand your point. However, the veteran was subsequently represented by an attorney at the March 1995 board decision, in which he specifically listed the conditions that he sought to be contemplated by the joint motion for remand. He did not list any sort of or indicate any sort of pending claims at that point in time. And certainly he wasn't, in other words, he was actually represented. So he did have that necessary degree, of sophistication. If that's all, Your Honor, the Secretary rests, believes that that the case should be, a board decision should be affirmed in all respects.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Counsel for the appellant.
Pardon?
That's all right.
At the outset, I guess I'd like to make sure I answer Judge Lance's question that was kind of left over at the end, although it might have been answered by Chief Judge Castle in the last minute or so as far as the peripheral neuropathy. I guess I want to make sure I understand your question. Can you restate it, or...
Well, I think the ultimate issue in this case is that if you submit a claim for a secondary condition first, and then subsequently, as in this instance, the primary condition to which the secondary condition attaches, how does that all fit together? Logically, we need to overcome that.
Yes, sir.
That problem. And it seems to me that we have a statute that says one thing and regulations propounded by the Secretary that may say another thing. So that's what I'd like you to amplify on.
Yes, Your Honor. And I think that that does relate to what Chief Judge Castle was saying the past minute or so, that when the veteran filed the claim in 1980 and said, I've got this left leg numbness, I don't think he's necessarily saying, I only have left leg numbness, I don't have diabetes, just, you know, adjudicate my claim on left leg numbness. So I think, you know, you had diabetes then. He just didn't necessarily write it out. I think I have diabetes, I'd like this claim pursued.
But didn't he file a claim for peripheral neuropathy in 1994?
I do believe so, Your Honor, yes.
Record, page 5, I think, would support that. Okay. So they said, partner, you may have peripheral neuropathy, but it's non-cognizable under the VA system, right?
Yes, sir.
So in 2001, they say, okay, diabetes sometimes is related to Agent Orange, and it sometimes results in a secondary condition, which is peripheral neuropathy. Am I accurate so far?
I believe so, Your Honor, yes.
Okay. But in this case, we have you making the claim for the secondary condition first before we have diagnosed the diabetes. Okay. Now, that's kind of the way I read this case, and I'm looking for your view as to how that all relates and how that fits together.
Yes, Your Honor. And I guess I would just go back to he filed the claim, left leg numbness. He certainly could have had diabetes in 1980 just without the diagnosis or without the understanding that it's, you know, tied into the exposure to Agent Orange. So he could have been suffering from diabetes, didn't know about it, didn't say, I have symptoms associated with diabetes. Instead, he said, I have left leg numbness, which relates to the diabetes. And eventually, the diabetes is service connected, and then the left peripheral neuropathy is secondarily service connected to the diabetes. So I guess, I don't know, that's about as...
So that leaves us the gap between 1994, when he made the claim for peripheral neuropathy, record, page 5, and June 5, 2006, when he was granted a claim for diabetes. Right?
Right.
Because you've got the primary condition following the secondary condition. And that's... That's the logical gap I'm trying to wrestle with, address.
I see. Okay.
Did the board make any determination that the claim submitted in 1980 for numbness had ever been adjudicated?
I didn't see anything in the record, Your Honor. Once it got to 92, the veteran, filed something, again, I believe it was with the board, saying, I never had these claims adjudicated. And then they had a hearing in 94, and then they just dealt with chloracne. So I think that, by that action, the board basically acknowledged, hey, we never adjudicated your Agent Orange claims. We'll adjudicate them. And then, you know, they just adjudicated the skin condition and left the issue open as far as the other, diseases, he suffered from. So I think the board basically acknowledged, we never adjudicated your claim. Sorry, we'll do it now. But they really didn't go,
We'll do it now, meaning when? Now here?
No. Now as in 90. I'm sorry, Governor. Now as in 94. And, as you referenced with counsel about the pre-hearing conference, whether or not the veteran explicitly, waived claims, that's certainly not a matter of record, whatever was discussed at the pre-hearing conference. At that hearing, as you mentioned, the board opens up by saying these are the issues, and lists a number of them and says, is that right? The veteran says, I think so, sir. So
your position is that while he filed a claim for peripheral neuropathy in 94, record 5, that was part and parcel of the same claim filed in 1980 for numbness of the left leg, and that remained open from 1980?
Well, Your Honor, without actually seeing the claim filed in 94,
it's your place.
Understanding.
Pardon? It's your case.
Yes, Your Honor, but based on what you would reference there, I don't think necessarily it means that it was the same claim. I think it could have been two separate claims, if that makes any sense, because the 1980 claim could have been directly related to Agent Orange, for example, and the 94 could have been,
Claims aren't defined by directly related or indirectly related. They're related to what the veteran is claiming.
Mm-hmm.
The veteran claimed numbness in his left leg. Whether or not it was adjudicated in March of 95, board decision in JMR, the secretary says it was. You're saying it wasn't.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So that claim remained open, and we have a peripheral neuropathy claim, which is a specific disease related to what, numbness in the left leg?
Yes, sir.
So is it all the same claim, I guess?
And my answer to that, Your Honor, would be it's not.
It's not the same claim?
Right.
So he has a claim for numbness in the left leg, separate and distinct from peripheral neuropathy in the left leg?
My understanding of the record. So he had that one claim that had been open, you know, since 1980, unadjudicated, and then a new claim in 94, and that one was adjudicated.
And that's the one that's on appeal now?
That's the one that's on appeal, yes. But as far as the 1980 claim, never been
So if you were going to get an effective date associated with the numbness in the leg or peripheral neuropathy, what effective date are you looking for? What effective date is your client looking
for? That would be 1980, Your Honor. I may have misstated response to your question as far as what left leg neuropathy claim is on appeal. It's the original one, really, that relates back to 1980.
That's what I thought you'd said originally.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Your Honor. That's what's on appeal, because that one's the one that's related to Agent Orange, which was subsequently granted, for the diabetes.
But even if it's not found that the 81 remained open, then you have this 94 one, and your argument is that you're entitled to the date of that claim in response to Judge Lance.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And it's not tied to the underlying secondary, which is found later.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Your argument also be then that diabetes could go back to the same date because peripheral neuropathy was caused by diabetes.
Yes,
it's
Your Honor.
Either 94 or 80. It's either 94,
yes,
or if the 80 remained open, it goes back to 80 in your view.
Yes, Your Honor. That's exactly right. Perhaps you may have answered Judge Lance's question better than I did, but that's my understanding, exactly. Regards to the JMR referenced by counsel, it does reference that some claims were dropped. However, it doesn't say what those were, and I don't think that's a matter of record as far as what the Veterans Council may
have. Do you have the record site for the JMR?
I believe it's 2106, Your Honor.
Thank you.
At least that's one of the pages for it. I think it's about a 3-page JMR, so... So there's really no reference, at least that I saw on the record, that says, well, and there's certainly no explicit mention in the JMR that says, we're going to drop all these Agent Orange claims, we're not going to pursue them anymore. And in fact, I know this isn't a matter of record, but in my conversations with a veteran, he's very adamant that, he never, ever wanted these claims dropped, and that's, the main reason.
Does the fact he was represented by counsel have any bearing on the fact that he may have... decided not to pursue these additional claims, including peripheral neuropathy?
I don't think necessarily it has any bearing that he was represented by counsel, because I think that counsel obviously came in pretty late in the game, and he may have not understood.
Well, he represented him, didn't he? He represented the appellant, correct?
He did, as far as whatever claims had been appealed to the court. However, there certainly could have been other claims.
He didn't represent him at the board? He represented him at the court when the JMR was.
Yeah, he certainly represented it at the court level, and to be honest, I don't know.
He entered into the JMR. He was advising him with regard to the.
That's
JMR.
Correct, Your Honor. Okay. And to be honest, I don't know if he represented him at the board level or not.
Okay, all right. I have another question. With regard to the peripheral neuropathy claim, your brief, as I read it, indicates that. It was that your contention is, and I think is the same as the VA, is that it is, even if it remained open, it is to be considered as service-connected as a result of diabetes, in other words, secondarily. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, although I don't necessarily know if that's absolutely the case, because it certainly could have been some other cause, but
if you're asking for an effective date specifically, then there has to have been an adjudication. That's what you're in here asking for, an earlier effective date, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
That's the relief you're asking for.
Correct, Your Honor.
So if there's a relief, that's the relief, then there has to have been an adjudication of that claim. Okay, so you stop me if you think I'm saying anything that you didn't say, okay, because I don't want to put words in your mouth. Okay, so you're asking for an earlier effective date. That can only depend upon an adjudication, and the adjudication is the one that's currently on appeal here, correct?
Correct.
And that adjudication found that the peripheral neuropathy was service-connected as a result of diabetes. In other words, secondary to diabetes, correct?
Correct.
So how could you get an earlier effective date on that basis if the peripheral neuropathy was asserted earlier but was not tied to diabetes? Because there would be no adjudication on a direct basis.
Well, it's based on my understanding that when you filed the claim in 1980, mm-hmm. you claimed the left leg numbness.
Right.
And that basically had remained open mm-hmm. this entire time. And eventually, okay. he was granted left leg or left leg peripheral neuropathy mm-hmm. Secondary to the diabetes.
Correct.
So that should have been granted. That's the date of the original claim, 1980.
Is there any evidence in the record that he had diabetes in 1980?
Other than
your supposition that he must have had?
And
maybe it's likely he had, but is there any evidence in the record that he had diabetes prior to the time that it was actually diagnosed?
Not that I can point out to you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
He certainly could have had it, but I
understand.
I can think of it, absolutely. Just wanted to close and thank this honorable court for the opportunity to have this heard. We seek a reversal of the board's decision. In the alternative, if there is to be a remand, we would respectfully request that the remand is worded specifically enough to put this matter to rest, because obviously it's been up and down the chain several times. We'd ask for that, and we thank you.
Thank you very much.
The case will be submitted. We'll come down and greet counsel.
All right. Person